Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 133 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well.
Yes, U.S. President Joe Biden has gotten grief since taking the White House. He has been blamed for everything that has gone wrong. Republicans and certain Democrats has blocked the progress of his Build Back Better agenda that he ran on in 2020. He's blamed for inflation, high gas prices, low gas prices, immigration, etc. Tonight, we focus on the positive since he assumed office. Thank you for joining us. The number to call is 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody. Tonight's opening music is Irrelevant by Pink. And we look forward to the calls and comments on our Facebook page. You can like us at Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Already the call started coming and we'll answer soon. But first, Laura, you wanted to open with something that Joe Biden said.
Yes, I did. I hope everyone is doing well. I wanted to just say that when President Biden took office, he declared that his ascension was a triumph, not of a candidate, but a cause, the cause of democracy. He also vowed to bring back unity and do great things. We can right wrongs. We can put people to work in good jobs. We can teach our children in safe schools. We can overcome this deadly virus, President Biden said. At that time, his approval ratings were at 56%, and he won with more than 80 million votes, more than any other president.
Mm-hmm,
so let's
mm-hmm.
just talk about President Biden now.
Yes, the good positive things. And you notice that Joe Manchin from West Virginia has agreed to help him with the climate bill, $3.2 trillion in fighting global warming, also the health care. He's going to back the president. And that's what he says, but we're just waiting until the last minute where, as usual, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, he will change his mind and vote with Republicans. Okay, so before we get to the meat of things, should we take this call first or should we just jump in the first issue?
You can take the call.
Okay, cool. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Hello, Carla.
Hi,
go
guys.
Ahead. You're on air.
Hi, guys. It's Kelly from Michigan.
Kelly,
oh,
welcome.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good, guys. I'm sorry I haven't been able to get back going with you guys, and I thought I better
That's
call
okay.
in.
That's okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Great. Tonight we're going to talk about a little bit about President Biden because he's been, you know, bad-mouthed every which way, and basically we're tired of hearing it. So I want to prop him up a little bit tonight. I think he deserves it.
Okay.
Indeed. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Okay, so it's been a year since they've been in the White House, Biden and Harris, and, you know, they're going places, they're doing things opposite to what Donald Trump and Mike Pence were doing. They were destroying America. And according to the WhiteHouse.gov or WH.gov, the president and vice president promised to move quickly to deliver results for working families, and this is what they've done. Over 200 million Americans fully vaccinated in 1 year, unlike Donald Trump, who failed miserably at that. He was talking about injecting themselves with disinfectant and what have you. And the jobs added, 6.4 million jobs added, the most in any year in U.S. history. Biden administration passed the American Rescue Plan and bipartisan infrastructure law. The biggest drop in unemployment ever, the lowest child poverty rate ever, electric vehicle sales doubled in 1 year, 5 million more Americans with health insurance. Now, you know, Donald Trump claimed that he's the most successful president since Lincoln. And what does he show for him? Absolutely nothing. You know, so,
we've been cleaning up his mess ever since. And we suffer every day for that man.
Yes, yes. And he's trying to, build back better and everything. His theme that he ran on in 2020. And again, Joe Manchin tried to kill it by voting with Republicans. So, Kelly, what do you think about, you know, Joe Biden's first year in office? Successful, mediocre, what's your take?
I think that he's had a lot of hard work to do. I'm not going to fib. He wasn't my first pick, but I knew that he could get us away from the orange puke. And he came right into office. He had to deal with a pandemic that was around the world. That was remarkable. I love what he had did with myself. I had, for instance, my husband and I got COVID around the 4th of July. And because of that COVID relief plan that he set up, it saved me. I was able to get the emergency pills. I can't pronounce it correctly, Paxlovid or something. It was at no cost. I was so surprised at that. But it's not just that. It's just everything he is listening. He's so compassionate. But yet, what happened? The bottleneck supply chain happened, and nobody is understanding that between COVID and the supply chain problem. It's causing, it's backlashing right now, and now they're talking a recession. So that's scary, and he's doing everything he can to get us out of it. And it's just frustrating. I feel bad for him. I feel very bad for him.
And Republican plan, what is the Republican plan? Absolutely nothing. You know, they're all blocking, and it's disgusting. Anybody would vote with
them. Look at they left. They wouldn't help our veterans. When you get the Republican Party that says, oh, well, we'll take care. You know, it's only a Republican president can take care of our veterans. Really, that's all. Pretty much all.
Well, the thing is that we also have to remember, you know, we were in lockdown. There was nothing going on. I mean, as far as, you know, production and, factories were closed for a while, et cetera. So all these things have had an impact, you know, and now they're talking recession, but I find that almost hard to believe. And this is, I mean, I'm not an economist or anything, but everywhere I go, there are help wanted signs. Every place that you seem to go, there's help wanted signs. So, you know, it can't be that bad. Business cannot be that bad. I think people are still spending. I mean, the roads are crowded. People are going on vacation. They're traveling. I mean, all of that costs money. So I don't see this. And I remember in 2008, that was a different feeling in the country. And that was a true recession. I mean, everybody felt that. I don't feel this way. I just don't. I know so many people that have gone over, you know, to Europe, and they're, you know, just spending money and, you know, Airbnbs and, you know, all these things. So I don't know where the idea comes that, you know, we are going towards a recession. I mean, is that just politics? I mean, I don't know. Am I wrong in thinking that way? I don't know.
Yeah, Republicans playing a blocking game, and people like Kyrsten Sinema from Arizona and Joe Manchin from West Virginia, doing everything in the power because, you know, they have a swing vote and everything, so they feel important that, yes, you know, you can't get on with your agenda without my help. And Kyrsten Sinema's most biggest disappointment, reason being, is she ran as a progressive, and look what she's doing now. She's voting with Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell says we're still spending that $1,200 recession money we got 2 years ago. You know, he's just talking out of his butt, as usual. I mean, come on, man. Who can take
that money? I mean, people pay that much in rent. Are you kidding me? That money came and went for most people, you know, very quickly. So, you know, I mean, what Manchin is talking about, who the heck knows? I mean, they live on a different planet, you know. He drives a Maserati. So that'll tell you right there.
He lives on a yacht.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, so they also expanded the affordable health care. They increased the number of Americans with health care coverage to the highest number ever slashed, and slashed premiums for millions. As a result of this action, hundreds of thousands of Americans pay premiums as low as $10, an issue that has been particularly concerning to Americans in the past 2 years, and lowered the copays that many Americans pay. Now, that's something to, you know, something that helps people with their finances. And, you know, healthcare is a big deal, you know, when you have your copays and et cetera. And we all pay quite a bit for healthcare. I know I do. So, I mean, that's a good thing.
Added to which, the lowest child poverty rate ever in the history of the United States, thanks to Joe Biden. The America Rescue Plan expert estimated the lowest child poverty rate ever for 2021. The number of households reporting that they sometimes or often did not have enough to eat also dropped by 32%. There's no way that, you know, Trump can brag about that. He has nothing to show for his 4 years in office other than division and hate and all that bad stuff. So Joe Biden doing an excellent job in, you know, recovering this economy. And he's fighting tooth and nail because what's happening in the world now, as Kelly rightly said, is that with trade, everything is backed up because of the war in Ukraine. You know, there's different things happening. You know, it's beyond Joe Biden's control. And when people ask certain people, go ahead.
It's okay. Finish
your. And when you ask certain people, Biden is not my president, and you say, okay, so who is? Donald Trump. Okay, so Trump is president, so who's to blame for high gas prices? They say, oh, Biden. So okay, you can have it both ways. They say Biden is not your president, but Trump is, but you're blaming Biden for gas prices. And some of them also have irony in it. That's how dumb these people who vote Republican are.
I know.
It's sad.
Absolutely. You know, the president, not President Biden, not Bush, not any of them, none of them can set gas prices. They can try to, you know, talk to the oil companies and ask them to, you know, have a heart, so to speak, and, you know, not have to take their billions of dollars in profits and maybe make, you know, maybe a little bit less money in a year to their stockholders. Something like that they could maybe do, but the president does not set gas prices. I mean, he's worked really hard to negotiate with these oil companies, and gas is starting to come down a little bit. He has to have that credit, because if he wouldn't have said anything or done anything, we would still be paying over $5 a gallon. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And over
and
some places, in some of the out west.
Yeah, and some places in California is $10 per gallon, which is ridiculous. Definitely not very ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, on the other
playing up and down around here. It's up and down.
And you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, are these gas stations just playing, you know, a little bit of price gouging themselves? You know what I mean?
I had that discussion with some family today.
You know.
And, you know, Joe Biden have this plan where, and Republicans always say, but how will you pay for it? For example, raising the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%, that will raise $727 billion. Corporations, some of them, or most of them, pay no taxes, which is, you know, crazy in my opinion. Stop heirs of multimillion dollar and billionaires from dodging taxes on inheritances. When Joe Biden, the inheritance tax, we're raking $430 billion. And what else? Lori, you have the thing.
Make ultra-millionaires and billionaires pay a 2-cent tax on wealth. This is how they'll pay for it. Make ultra-millionaires and billionaires pay a 2-cent tax on wealth over $50 million. And that will raise $3 trillion. That is called the wealth tax. One is to fund the IRS. Provide the IRS with resources it needs to go after wealthy tax cheats. That raises $1 trillion. And the last one is stop outsourcing. End the Trump tax breaks for corporations that ship jobs and profits offshore. That would raise $700 billion. All of that money could be used in our country to do the things that we need to do, infrastructure, the Build Back Better plan, you know, climate change, all the things that we need that are going to create jobs and good paying jobs for people if we could get some of these things done. But the Republicans refuse to work with President Biden. They refuse. And this is the maddening, the madness of the Republican Party. They need people to vote for them, but they don't want to give them anything. It makes no sense. None whatsoever. But they still vote.
That's
for
when
them.
You Yeah, and you know, like how, you know, states like Kentucky, Alabama, Mississippi especially, the southern states, you know, the Bible Belt, for the past since 1968, they've been voting, you know, Republican, and they have nothing to show for it. Why keep voting against your own special interests? You know, is it because of the hate? Because of the hate, you know, that they have against minorities, against women, you know? You know, it just don't make any sense, you know?
No.
Makes absolutely no sense. And Joe Biden, the law enforcement official, goes on a reproductive healthcare clinic and requests records of abortion performing at the clinic. Because Roe was reversed, clinics and healthcare providers may... Oh, my God, I missed it again. This thing, this computer acting up on me. Okay.
I've got it here if you don't.
Okay, yeah. Clinics and healthcare providers may be unsure whether they can legally protect their patients' health records, especially in states where abortion is criminalized. Well, under Joe Biden's executive order, which was done yesterday, Health and Human Services clarified that under the HIPAA privacy rule, providers are not required and often not permitted to disclose protected health information with limited exceptions. You know, so states with abortion laws, they can't just go in there and say, hey, give me this person's records, you know?
No.
You know, they could, but, you know, by law, by the executive order, they're not allowed to get it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Well, to go on a little bit more about what he wrote, about the executive order on the abortion rights. Also, he went on to expand access to abortion pills, beef up enforcement of Obamacare's birth control coverage mandate, and stand up an army of pro bono lawyers to help defend people criminally charged for seeking or providing the procedure. The order also instructs the administration to consider several additional actions to shore up privacy rights for patients using digital apps and those who are now at risk of being reported to law enforcement by a medical provider. They will also consider strengthening protection for doctors performing abortions in medical emergencies by updating the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, a plan to create another intricacy task force that includes Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asked the administration to explore many other steps. So, I mean, this is ongoing. So he is trying to do things to, you know, some of the red states, we know that, you know, some women are really in trouble. And so he's trying to help alleviate some of that pain that they are going through. And with the executive orders, let's hope that he's able to do that.
Yes, and hopefully this will motivate women around the country to turn out to record numbers for the midterm elections in November. You know, I don't think the courts, or for that matter, the Republicans who for decades have pushed this extreme agenda, they don't have a clue of the power of the American woman. They're about to find out in November. They're about to find out. They're in for a rude awakening.
What
I think
do you think,
it's
going
to be an unprecedented.
Kelly, do you think? Do you think women are going to come out in droves?
Yes, I do. I think it's going to be of all ages now. All ages. Because there's so many of them that is older than
I think
myself.
Gen Z. I think the older Gen Z and also, what other one? The millennials.
Baby boomers. Yeah, the baby boomers are really going to come out. Yeah, because they're seeing their grandchildren. They are not going to have the rights that they did. I hear a lot of them already speaking out. Say this is not fair for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know how they can get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Planned Parenthood is motivated. NARAL is motivated. The National Women's Law Center and other progressive groups and elected officials praised the executive order as a positive first step. So NARAL President Minnie Timaraju told Politico that many of the provisions in last Friday's executive order were the direct results of the information gathering by the Biden administration's reproductive health task force being that has been doing for the past few months, and she hopes groups like hers will continue to have influence and as different agencies put together details of the new policies. So with Roe being terminated, do you think that, you know, it can be overturned because the Supreme Court did it? Joe Biden can't do it by executive order, unfortunately.
No.
How do you think we could roll back this thing and give women a right? Congress? Can Congress override what the Supreme Court said?
I don't think Congress can. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a
lawyer.
It's not
the federal law.
Yeah, I don't know. I wondered the same thing, because look how many signatures was to get rid of the terrible Supreme Judge, get him out of there, and what's going to come of that, I wondered, you know.
Are you talking about Clarence Thomas?
Yeah, the petition to get him out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's enough votes to do, or signatures to do it, but. Yeah,
I know.
And maybe they can codify Roe versus Wade in the House and, you know, make it pass in the Senate. And that's why the election is very important, because we've got a majority of senators who are Democrats.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yeah.
And reading in the House, then it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. That's
yes,
the only
it
way.
Is possible.
It's important to go out and vote.
I think women, I think they may have unleashed the wrath of a woman. They've unleashed something.
Mm-hmm.
They really have. I don't know what they were thinking when they did this. I don't understand what the theory was or why. Why after all these years, why after 50-plus years, did they decide to roll back something that was a human right. It's a human right.
Yeah, reason being, they're controlled by the religious right, the quote-unquote moral majority, you know, which is not moral about them. You know, they're bringing Christianity.
There's nothing moral about them.
Yeah, the moral majority. Yeah. They're bringing Christianity and religion into politics, and the Constitution clearly states that there is a division, a line between church and state. The founding fathers...
Yeah.
Went for clergy running the government. They weren't even religious, so I don't know where these right wing nut jobs saying, "Oh, you know, we're founded on Christian principles," and no, you know, we're founded on blood and war with Indians and slavery. We're built from slavery and immigrants. So this all talk about, oh, you know, put back God in the center of things. Is real ridiculous.
Right.
The white nationalist from Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, just spoke to a white nationalist gathering recently, you know, and she is playing the victim, saying, oh, you know, because I'm a white nationalist Christian, you know, they're against me and they're trying to fight me. You know, white nationalism is fascism, basically. But she's so dumb and stupid and ignorant.
Yeah.
You know?
Do they not know what fascism is? I mean, honestly and truly, do these people not understand what fascism is? Do they not, I mean, what is so hard to figure out? Why would you live in a democracy and you want a government that's going to tell you what to do when you want less government in your life? I mean, how much sense does all of this make? It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yes. Less government for everybody else. Yeah, less government for everybody else. But, you know, we want to run things and make our moral majority of people run things, but we do have to follow rules. That's what Republicans stand for today. That's deplorable.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. It's hypocritical. As Pink Song said, irrelevant, hypocritical.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I've seen a video with Adam Kissinger speaking on a board. Did you, I don't know if you guys, and you, any of you seen it, but he was saying about how some of these churches are what started this deal about Trump, you know, how Trump was.
Oh, sure.
You know,
we know
and
that.
And he, I love how he said I would love, because I'd like to do something about this, because it used to be separate. Church and government was separate. It's not anymore. And he said, I would like these churches to open the door and let my, you know, Democratic friends in. I about fell out of my chair when he said that.
Yeah.
And I was glad he said that.
Oh, yeah, he's a great speaker. My question, I mean, I question, why is he a Republican? I mean, he doesn't talk like a Republican at all. His talking points are very Democratic. I don't understand why he's a Republican. It blows my mind.
It could be he's not, but I wonder if it's because he's in that part of the state that he had to run as a Republican.
Basically,
I mean,
maybe you're right.
In Michigan, Peter, look at, what's his name, Meyer, that's not going to, you know, he's going to get beat. He did get beat, or he's going to get beat come August in the upper part of Michigan, the Grand Rapids area, from another Republican because he voted against Trump. You know, he voted for him to be impeached, and but it's already
so they're
going to
punish
up,
him for that.
Yeah, but I already know there's a Democrat. It's got higher numbers in that area.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
Crazy! It's nuts what's going on. Too many. You know, these white nationalists that are out there threatening, and it's disgusting. It's disgusting, and I have no faith in the FBI anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when they have the next session of hearings, because there's quite a few people coming forward. They are going to get to the bottom of everything.
I know, I can't wait.
I know, me either. I cannot wait. What about gun safety? What has Biden done, David? Have you heard?
Gun safety, yes. He also signed an executive order, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, where is this thing?
I have it if you don't.
Oh, wait, hold on, I'm finding it. Ah, found it.
Okay.
So, Joe Biden, President of the United States, he signed a gun safety bill into law, and it was a bipartisan Safer Communities Act gun safety bill in Roosevelt Room at the White House on Saturday, this past Saturday. Joe Biden was there by his side, he signed it. It was the first major gun safety legislation passed by Congress in nearly 30 years. The signing came just over a month after the mass shooting in Texas elementary school that killed 19 children and two adults. The attack came 10 days after the racist mass shooting in Buffalo, New York, at a supermarket that killed 10 black people and injured many more. Quote, "While this bill doesn't do everything I want, it does include actions I've long called for that are going to save lives," said Biden during the signing measure. Quote again, "Today we say more than enough. We say more than enough. At a time when it seems impossible to get anything done in Washington, we're doing something consequential," end of quote. So the legislation was passed by the House, 234 votes to 193. Again, Republicans united on a partisan line to vote against this bill Friday night last week, and Senate approval Thursday. That includes incentives for states to pass so-called red flag laws that allow groups to petition courts to remove weapons from people deemed a threat to themselves or others. Now, this young man, for example, who shoot up at school, he had mental issues. He threatened to kill members of his family, but yet still his father, when he turned 18, bought the automatic rifle AR-15 for him. Now, tell me, how does that make sense? An 18-year-old, he can't drink, but yet still can own a gun. And when you need an AR-15, you're not going to war. So in addition, the bill expands an existing law that prevents people convicted of domestic abuse from owning a gun to include dating partners rather than just spouses and former spouses. It also expands background checks on people between the ages of 18 and 21 seeking to buy a gun. And some states want to raise the age for purchasing a gun from 16 to 21. Some states are 18, and some states are 16 because of the whole, deer hunting season and what have you. The legislation can be abused to restrict lawful gun procedures being adopted by state and local politicians. The NRA said in a statement Tuesday that the legislation can be abused to restrict lawful gun purchases infringing upon the rights of law-abiding Americans and use federal dollars to fund gun control measures being adopted by state and local politicians. The NRA is sticking ahead in it because cutting in on their profits, all they're doing is, not caring about the life of somebody, but, the buying of guns and everything. So Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, who led the negotiations between 10 Senate Republicans and 10 Senate Democrats, called the bill a compromise right before the Senate vote began Thursday. Quote, "It doesn't do everything I want, but what we are doing will save thousands of lives without violating anyone's Second Amendment rights." So that's a good thing. For the past 30 years, we've had nothing in terms of gun control, but now these 10 Democrats and 10 Republicans, led by, Chris Smith. I mean, what's his name? Chris
Murphy.
Got something done. Your thoughts, ladies?
Well, I mean, it's good. Raising the age, the red flag law, that sort of thing. I find that to be helpful, but they didn't go far enough, as we both, as we all know. The AR-15s and the assault rifles, in my eyes, are weapons of mass destruction. That's in my eyes. That's what they are. The other thing I was thinking, how about limiting ammunition? I know there's probably millions of cartridges out there already, but I'm saying to buy, you can only buy so much ammunition in a year or in 2 years or something. They maybe could do something like that. I don't know. They did something, but like Chris Murphy said, it didn't go far enough.
No, the manufacturers of those guns were even saying that. He says, they're going to continue to make them. Let's talk about the mental ability of these people and the ages. They all said it. And I thought to myself, if you feel that way, I felt like saying, well, come on, quit making them then, people. If you know nothing's going to happen.
Well, the thing about the red flag law.
Go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to talk a little bit about the red flag laws. What they would do is allow groups to petition courts to remove weapons from people that are a threat to themselves or others. The bill also expands on an existing law that prevents owning a gun those convicted of domestic abuse. And it also expands background checks on people between 18 and 21 seeking to buy a gun. So, once again, there's no mention of AR-15 bans or assault rifle bans, but at least that is a little something that might save a few lives.
Hey, Kelly from Michigan, thank you so much for calling in. We're glad that you listen and, sharing the word and, contributing to the conversation.
I just want to ask you one thing before. We have that crazy lady that's running against, Tudor Dixon. You know what's funny about Tudor Dixon? I saw her in an ad, and she was speaking, and she has her hair combed just like Gretchen.
Yep.
And it's dark just like Gretchen. Is that hysterical or what?
Yeah, and she has that, you know, she has the Michigan tongue. The Michigan tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what she did, but she's a DeVossie. You know, that's who's in her pocket.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
not just, it's not just her. There's, what is it, four other guys? And,
oh, yeah.
And so if, when you look at any of their commercials, you know, it's just all over the TV right now. The falseness. It's like they think Michigan people are that stupid. We didn't
vote
for Trump.
They think we're really stupid. They think they're they actually name say that Trump supports them. That is how dumb they are. I mean, it blows my mind.
Yeah, yeah. There's one guy, and I can't think of his name.
Rinky?
He's a preacher. No, Ricky's he's just a pile of, this guy's a preacher, and I can't think of his name,
Does his name start with a G, like an Italian name?
Oh, no, that's that other guy, Garrett. There's a lot of signs with him. There's a lot of signs around even the lower part of Michigan. I've seen him up north. I see a lot of that Ryan Kelly, you know, that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Ryan Kelly was at the insurrection. Do you know that?
Yeah. And then a federal judge threw out his case.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's walking. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on our ballot. Yeah.
They petitioned to not allow him to run, but the judge, as you said, threw that out. That is incredible to me. I would love to know who the hell that judge is.
Yeah, me too.
Or who paid
the judge? Oh, it's probably up where he lives. Isn't he over in that? Where isn't he kind of by you?
I don't know. His signs are around here. They're all around
He's a realtor. He's a realtor. I'm glad to find out where he's a realtor at.
Yeah. Anyway, I would mention Tudor Dixon. She's anti-abortion and all of that. She's crazy.
One thing that she's not saying. You know that DeVossie wants to get rid of public school system.
Mm-hmm.
All these Republicans, and they're not saying it. They're working hard to get rid of public school.
They're just saying that they're going to give parents the control to educate their children. What does that tell you?
Yeah, homeschool them.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy.
I know, they were... It's kind of, it's cake in their face when they're saying that, you know, the pandemic, how we had, you know, to stay home and we had to, you know, businesses were closed down. It's the same thing if you close the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are going to be forced to take care of their kids again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah. Kelly, thank you so much for calling. Phone calls lined
up. We'll be on again next week, Kelly.
Yes, I'll do my best.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. You too, you guys. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Kelly from Michigan. We'll have on the line Jackie from Missouri. Hello, Jackie. Thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, David. How you doing?
Excellent.
Hi,
if we're doing it better,
can
it was sickening.
Yeah,
clear.
We can hear you. Very good.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very good. How are you, too? Had a good week?
Doing great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, I always like to call in, but I almost didn't tonight because I didn't have anything good to say, and I don't want to just be a complainer. I only give myself one complaint today, and I'm going to burn it on this radio show, so
podcast. What is your complaint? We'll listen. It's okay.
All right. Well, Donald Trump, in my opinion, turned the Oval Office into a shitter and the presidency into a turd. It's no wonder the January 6th, no wonder January 6th was so easily accomplished, because I mean, think about it. He taught all of his followers and a lot of the country by example that objectifying, the objectification type of thinking, so that the office of the President of the United States is just something that can be bought and paid for. It's not nothing to be respected or is endearing or worthy or valuable, or you know what I mean? It was just an object to be taken, to be grabbed if you had the power, much like you like to grab the privates of any nearby unsuspecting woman. Anyway, his actions taught us that that kind of stuff was okay, you know, and people bought it. They bought it, and they bought it. And that's why January 6th was so easily accomplished, I think. But in my opinion, opposite that is the Founding Fathers didn't want America to have a king, of course, but one of the main roles of royalty is to show and act and represent the best of manners, the best behavior of society. And so if we lost anything, you know, I mean, I was named Jackie, born in 1962. You probably know who I was named after. I don't look anything like Jackie Kennedy, but I try to be classy and I try to, you know, be the best that I can be and teach my children and grandchildren how to be good people. But, you know, if this is what we're teaching by example, when the highest office in the land behaves this way, it's no wonder that people are willing to cut each other's throats for toilet paper.
Yeah, crazy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Let's welcome to the conversation Susie in Michigan.
Susie, how are you doing?
Yes, in the lane, Jackie.
Good, how are you?
What's
Susie?
Up?
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good, good. I've been listening to these guys. You know, I'm always doing a slow burn because I'm so pissed off at the Republicans. I can't see straight. I think they're all burning the Constitution. It's a separation of church and state. DeVos wants to turn it into a church, you know, and she bought and paid for her position in the cabinet. Education, that woman can't even talk. So, you know, I get really upset with that. And you were talking that originally we should say, you know, talk about what Biden did for us. For one thing, he gave us back our reputation internationally.
Yes, he did.
We're respected again. He's building NATO back. They got Norway and Sweden to join, and he wants other ones. They would like Ukraine, but, you know, Russia's got the nuclear weapons, so that's holding us back. And he tried with the Saudis, and he went there only to get gas so people could lower the price. Oh, and then I was looking on my phone news today, and they said Shell Oil from Britain had the second quarter of record high profits. Surprise! Well, we're, you know, and I think the reason the prices are coming down because Biden threatened to give them a tax on their profits so that all of a sudden the prices came down. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, how many billions was it? Like 11 or 12 billion profit?
Yes. 11, it was even more, 18 billion.
18?
But it was
the
second quarter in a row that they made record. And they're not the only ones. I mean, but the Brits were pissed off because they're paying a lot of gas money. But, let's see. That Inflation Reduction Act that they were working on, I think it passed. It's supposed to also help with medical bills and deficit reduction. And they're going to pass to raise $313 billion from a new corporate 15% tax, minimum tax. Hooray.
Yes, he wants to. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, he didn't get a lot of the things he wanted in it, like child care and elder care, affordable, make it more affordable, and college tuition and school, preschool payments, reduction in that cost, and Medicaid expansion. He didn't get those.
Mm-hmm.
But Biden told them, pass it for America.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the problem with the Republicans. It's not for America. It's what's good for their pocket and power. That's all.
That's all.
Exactly.
It's all about.
And speaking about the House Republicans, the move to oppose CHIPS plus bill to rebuke the Manchin deal with Joe Biden. So House Republican leadership is urging members and its conference to vote against a bill to bolster the domestic chip manufacturing industry and fund scientific research. Surprise, surprise, a reversal from its position earlier in the day that comes hours after Senate Democrats struck a deal on a multi-billion dollar reconciliation package. In a memo to the House GOP offices Wednesday night, leadership recommended that Republican lawmakers vote against the CHIPS Plus bill, which passed U.S. Senate in a bipartisan vote earlier in the day. The announcement came shortly after Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer of New York and Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia announced a $369 billion deal on climate taxes, healthcare packages, following months of intra-party negotiations, an agreement that appears to be driving House GOP GOP's opposition to CHIPS Plus. Now, Jackie, tell me, what do you think about the House Republicans? I think they're scum of the earth. No integrity, no class.
Well, they're playing a long game on us here. You see, we got presidential election coming up here later in the year. And so they're going to try and set him up for failure and just laugh it up when he falls for their lies. And then they backpull the carpet out from under his feet, and then they blame him for all the problems that he inherited from their own party puppet. This is a long con, and they just are trying to make him look bad so that the Democrats won't get the numbers in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that the Democrats will lose faith, and I'm surprised that I have not heard more politician, whatever you want to call it, electioneering or whatever, to get the women out and registered to vote, because Americans have such a short memory. We've got to build a fire under them and keep that momentum going.
Mm-hmm.
But
Susie,
he sucker punched our president. He just sucker punched him. It's just what
he did.
Yeah. Yeah,
he lied.
Chipping on everything Joe Biden tried. Susie, what's your thoughts on what was in the House?
Oh, there's swine buckets, that's for sure. And I agree with Jackie. But today, because they got that computer chip thing passed, the Republicans got pissed. So then they didn't vote for the they blocked the burn pit bill for the veterans. Did you see John Stewart really pissed in Washington today? He said shame. He said, shame the shameless? This was a no-brainer. I mean, he is amazing, Stewart. He got the 9/11 bill passed, and it took forever. And, everything is okay with the Republicans, but, geez, you can't help veterans. You put them in war. They get wounded. They get sick. They get cancer, and you're not going to help them? That is awful. I mean, it's not
that.
A word for it.
They can't profit off of that. They don't care about the veterans. All they care about is the war machine that they can profit off of.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And their actions speak louder than words consistently.
Yep.
Exactly.
So they were saying that because he got the chip bill put in, and, they don't have cheap labor in China to do it anymore and all that, they're crying, the cars cost more because we don't have chips. Well, then they got pissed and they passed this, they blocked the burn pit bill.
Mm-hmm.
They put it off. And it's no excuse.
The thing is about the microchips,
you know, they're having a problem with car production. Okay, so they need the microchips for that. We need it for, the auto industry, of course. Washers, dryers, cell phones, all your appliances. They all have microchips in them.
Everything
does.
And
everything does. And the thing is that so they want to create more chaos and have people wait more, you know, month, 3 months for a refrigerator, you know, when it breaks down. I mean, it's ludicrous what they're doing, just ludicrous. And if people cannot see this.
We design the chips. And we give them to China because they pay their people nothing to make it.
Right.
So the corporations
right.
are at fault because all they're thinking about is making money because they don't want to have a factory and pay real wages and have unions
yep.
in our country. So,
exactly. It's just
it's evil. Business is evil.
It's,
you know what my dad used
hell.
To say? You were talking about fascists. Mussolini had a thing that he would control his legislature government. He would
right.
give them all castor oil, tie them to chairs, and lock the doors.
Yep.
Maybe we should try that. What do you think?
Yeah, no kidding.
To see how full of it they are.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the top of the show, when I said Joe Manchin basically shit on the Build Back America program that Joe
uh-huh.
Biden ran on, he had a change of heart where, Joe Biden wanted to increase taxes on corporations and the wealthy to pay their fair share
mm-hmm.
because of the growing yep. income inequality in the United States. So this past Wednesday got a big boost. Early proposal tax rates from Biden's fellow Democrats hit a brick wall in Congress as Republicans and some Democrats oppose them. But Joe Manchin had a reversal. He's a swing vote in a divided Senate, and he gave a new lease on life on the tax agenda for Joe Biden. The amount of U.S. companies so far, I should say, because Joe Manchin, by the time you blink, when it's time to vote, he votes for Republicans. So we'll see how this turns out.
That's right.
The amount of U.S. companies contributing to tax revenues that funds roads and schools has plummeted since the 1940s. Biden has often said in his office that companies should instead pay their fair share, a contrast the difference to private markets begun by Republicans with former President Reagan, elected in 1980 and buoyed by rounds of tax cuts and deregulation by both Democrats and Republicans. So this new compromise include $430 billion in new spending on energy, electric vehicle tax credits, and health insurance investments. It's more than pay for itself by raising minimum taxes for big companies and enforcing existing tax laws. So Manchin and Chuck Schumer made a deal, and Biden said during a speech on Thursday, last Thursday, that he would, for the first time in a long time, be, you know, to restore fairness to the tax code, beginning to restore fairness by making the largest corporations in America pay their fair share without any new taxes on people making under $400,000 a year. So back in the FDR days in the 1940s, when they had the New Deal and everything, corporations were paying up to 75% in taxes. And that's
yes,
how Ike Eisenhower in the 1950s built infrastructure like roads, dams, you know, different things, railroads, bridges.
Exactly.
And, you know, since 1968 when Richard Nixon came in, he made a comeback and everything, you know, it just went poo-poo in no time because
yep.
of the religious right, the moral majority. And when you bring Christianity and religion and politics, it's just, you know, messing everything up, basically. So,
and I also say,
tax
the church.
Exactly. Exactly. If church people, you know, there's so many of them, though, I can't, you know, they're buying private jets and everything because, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're too high in mind to fit with regular people in coach,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, demons
well,
among
like
them.
Well, like that
know,
preacher in Detroit
politics.
That got
yeah.
robbed of $1 million worth of jewelry, him and his wife. Oh,
mm-hmm.
poor guy. And that's supposed
yeah,
to be the church. Yeah. And you know, all those, you know, evangelists on TV, people are so stupid
mm-hmm.
and send them money that they can't afford. Mm-hmm. And these guys just have their jets and everything. They got to fly here and there and air-conditioned dog houses and all that crap. And
yeah.
I don't get it. They're using the Bible to scam people. And who wrote the Bible anyway?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And just change it around to anything they want. And people fall for it, hook, line, and sinker.
Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They absolutely
What's the name of that past segment in Texas? Joel, what's his name? Where when the floods came, he said
Olsteen.
He didn't open
You're
the gate.
You're talking about Olsteen.
Olsteen, yes, yeah, that's some of the You know, I mean, he has two private jets. He has a Maserati driving. His wife has two cars.
Yep.
His kids have a car each. He lives in a mansion, have a couple other houses. Now, you know, did Jesus live that way? No, Jesus rode a donkey. You know, he was a simple carpenter.
Right.
He begged
you know,
for
and
food.
Then they had the nerve, to talk politics. If you talk politics, pay taxes.
That's right.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. They make me puke. I mean, you know, and I can't believe the public is so stupid. Why?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I have been myself. I've been through my life. I've been through Catholic churches. I've gone to Lutheran church. I've gone to a Baptist church. That was a joke. I've been to Christian churches for different reasons at different times, just and sometimes curiosity. And the thing about the Christian church, I will have to say,
mm-hmm.
if you have a good preacher and he or she can feed the parishioners that are there. Some of them are there for different reasons. Some of them are there because they truly believe, you know, in Jesus and everything. They truly believe. There are others there that are trying to find their way. There are some there that maybe have alcohol addiction or drug addiction, or they have family problems, mental problems. There's a whole scope of things that go into the Christian church. So
mm-hmm.
when these preachers do their sermon, they really know how to key in certain people. I mean, I've seen
mm-hmm.
it, and they're good, and they are good.
Mm-hmm.
So they do keep coming back, and then they do donate. You know, they want them to tithe. In other words, they want them to give 10% of their income, et cetera, which you can drop dead
Mormons
before I would
do
that.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes it's a little bit of brainwashing, too, because
oh, for
they,
sure.
they go in there maybe feeling low or depressed or needing something, or they hear
mm-hmm.
a quote, and that quote makes them feel better for that hour.
Mm-hmm.
You, and I, you know, does that make sense? And then, you know,
yes,
they come back
yes.
next week, and, you know, and maybe it'll fulfill something else because they've had a bad week or they've had a good week and they want to keep
feeling good. They could be lonely
good.
and they need a community,
yes.
and then they make
I
them
mean,
feel
I,
welcome.
You know,
so if these are
yes.
your friends, you help them out.
Yes.
But it all goes into
exactly.
the preacher's pocket. They don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right. My take on this, ladies,
you know,
is that mm-hmm. my take on this is we have a population that's uneducated or undereducated. When you don't pay teachers, then, you know, you have a less educated population. And when you have a less educated population, you tend to vote Republican. You know, so pay the teachers better, you have a better education system, and, you know, we're all better off and smarter for it. Now, Republicans hate our public schools. They want to privatize schools and everything. The lady who was Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, her children went to private school, and she know nothing about education, like you were saying earlier. You know, and,
yeah.
and you know, she's been given to Republicans since 1972 when Nixon was in there. I mean, she have money coming out our ears. So it's bot influence and everything. You know, so the thing is that, you know, we need to educate the population on, you know, who, you know, basically pissing on them and telling them it's rain and educating them.
And it's supposed to be separation of church and state. Schools are not supposed to. If you want to send your kid to the private school, fine, but I'm not going to pay for it. I pay for public school.
That's what our taxes are for.
Exactly.
We'll have another caller. Hold on, ladies.
Okay.
We want to stay, but we'll have another caller coming in. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's up?
No, not much. How y'all doing? Just
excellent.
Good.
Welcome.
How are you?
Yeah, I listened to you last week, so I thought I'd call in this week. But
good.
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt.
Thank
I know you.
You
guys are talking about, you know, something right now, but.
No, what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
For the title in general, or you guys want to go down the road of public-private school thing?
Which way do we want to go? I'm for public schools, of course.
Indeed. No, I mean as far as the point of entry for the conversation. Yeah, if you guys want to talk about the school situation, you're dead on, especially speaking to the Betsy DeVos situation. Because remember, Michigan is the case study for private versus public, where they made all these claims about educational gains, all of the things that they would do for the actual state. And in reality, you can go to Detroit Free Press, any paper you want to in Michigan, and read about what the actual outcomes were, which were less in education. Then you had trouble getting students to the actual schools because the transportation system didn't support where the private schools were. The private schools started managing the students in the form of, okay, we don't want those kids here, so we're going to use attendance, tardiness, and any other way we can to kind of manicure our test scores. So, public and private. With private, you get all of the worst of public and the bad side of private as well, with nobody held accountable, some operating like essentially CEOs running a company when it's supposed to be education. I mean, I can go all night for that. I've been mad about that for years. But
So, Carla, do you think that Democrats can make history by winning the House and the Senate come November?
Sadly, no. I don't think that's going to happen. But if they can just kind of keep their head above water and you know, fend off and win in some of these races, these tightly contested races, they're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. I don't like this thing I'm reading online. I don't know how true it is. I saw it on Vox. I saw it at Slate. Well, they're talking about Dems, like, pushing some of the ultra-MAGA people because they feel like those people will be easier to defeat. And I'm like, look, man, when fascism is at your door, you do not feed it, encourage it, or entice it in any way.
Exactly.
You never know
who
those silly voters are.
Exactly. So you calling from Detroit yourself?
No, I'm in Atlanta, actually.
You're in Atlanta?
Oh, okay. Atlanta, Georgia.
So
the most story pretty well.
So you have Stacey Abrams running there? Stacey Abrams?
Yep. I think
she
will win.
Awesome.
I think she's doing well.
I would love to see that.
Like, look, the urban areas, Atlanta, the major cities in Georgia, like, we know she's going to really punch above her weight there. The question is, can she turn some of those rural voters? And I think she can.
That's great. I am really, and I hope Beto in Texas wins. I hope Stacey wins. We need Gretchen to win here in Michigan. Florida needs to turn blue in a bad way. You know, we need some big wins here. So let's hope.
Sakana, what's your first name?
Oh, Naj.
Hi.
Naj.
Nice to meet you.
N-A-J. Naj. Nice to meet you as well.
N-A-J. Naj. Yes, man. So what's your take on that Green woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene? Do you think she's beatable in her district or not a chance?
Oh, I mean, yeah, she's definitely beatable. But again, remember, this is a massage, gerrymandered, really, really, really Republican district. That's the way it was intended to be. So that's the only reason we even see a person like that on the national stage. I honestly can't believe she got this far. Like, this is essentially a Facebook wine mom that somehow actually works in the government. Like, this is a weird thing. You know what I mean? This is like the worst political opinions of somebody in your family who you never listened to, but now you turn around and they're official. Like, they've been elected. So,
yes. Yes.
Like,
and you talk about
fascism
coming. You know, it's like, yeah, fascism is on the back door. And she gave a national, you know, she was guest speaker at this white nationalist event, and she was bragging about it, you know? I mean, that's so damn scary. You know?
Yeah,
oh, Lord.
Yeah. And then the worst part about it is, this is not like the conniving Republican who would use, you know, racists in order to get votes or something like that. This is somebody who I don't think ideologically she would be able to tell the difference between a white nationalist and somebody who is just a conservative. I don't think she would be able to separate the two. So you can invite her to anything. If she thinks they're going to clap and cheer for her, she'll show up. And she'll do that without me knowing whether she's an explicit racist or not. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's the other part to this. So when you run people like her and Herschel Walker, it not only shows your disdain for your voters, where you're basically saying we can just roll somebody out and kind of put a pin in their hand because they have no interest in governing, they know nothing about actual policy, but we're selling a personality thing to do in 2022. I don't think that's happening in China or India or some of these other nations who we're going to kind of be competing with for the next 100 years. So,
because if in Britain somebody like Herschel Walker ran, he'd be laughed at the House of Parliament. You know,
exactly.
Yeah. You know,
that,
so we
got
to see, man.
It blows my mind. He blows my mind.
Yeah.
That brother
Nash,
played a lot
thank
of football
you so
back in the day. No,
yeah,
appreciate it, man. Thanks for letting me on. And
thank
I'll check
we'll
you out
next week
as well.
Yeah,
all
thank
right,
you.
Have a good one.
Good night. Have a good night.
Yeah. That was Nash in Atlanta, Georgia, calling in. Yeah, always good to hear from new people, like Nash and Kelly in Michigan. Yes, that was a nice conversation. Georgia. It wouldn't have been good if Marjorie Taylor Greene was beaten. There's this veteran that's running again here, a black
She's
guy.
A joke.
She is, but as
worse
Nash
than a
said,
joke.
But it's so dangerous.
She's a product of the Trump objectifying thinking. This is what I was talking about earlier. This is Jackie, by the way. He taught us from the Oval Office that acting crazy like this and the worst behaviors are okay. And this comes from corporatization back in the day when, in the 80s, when we were all taught as a nation that you have to step on your colleagues to get ahead. And if you didn't, then you weren't worth management. You weren't worth a raise. You weren't worth getting ahead in the company. And that beast has reared its ugly head now in so many ways that the supposedly the best people who we vote to represent us behave like this and get away with it. We've got a guy running in Missouri, Eric Schmidt. He's the one who sued China for spreading coronavirus. Do you remember that?
Really?
The headlines were State of Missouri, AG, sues China. Yeah, and he's bragging on that now. That's one of his platform points. He says, because I get results, when in fact a judge threw that lawsuit out, didn't even get to go to trial, of course. How do you sue a country? So here's the thing. This guy, he said, I have sued 47 school districts for enforcing kindergartners to wear masks and forcing our children to wear masks. There shouldn't be any federal restrictions in public schools, but he doesn't say, oh, but then we won't get federal funding, so you all have to pay for public
schools. I mean, we pay for public schools with our taxes now, but I'm talking about really paying for public schools like people in Kansas mm-hmm. do. They have to pay for mm-hmm. their school buses. They have to pay for everything there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Jackie, tell me, in Missouri now, this guy, the former governor, Eric Greitens, he's a Senate nominee from United States Senate.
He's scary.
Ryan Hunting. Yeah, do you think he can win? And who's a Democrat who's running against him?
What was the second part of your question?
Democrat. Yeah, who's a Democrat running against Greitens? Mm-hmm. I don't remember who the Democrat is, but do you think Greitens, even though he was disgraced as governor for having an affair with his secretary, you know, he ran on Christine
Prince. I was looking at them today. It looked like the only one that even looked interesting to me was the Bush girl. She's a princess. She's probably mm-hmm. going to run Republican because, you know, she's rich. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she's at least she's a woman. But then again, maybe she's going to be an elitist white woman who we should name Karen. I don't know. But, mm-hmm. yeah, the choice is Trudy Bush, or because mm-hmm. she was born into Anheuser-Busch family. She's an heiress of the Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's Trudy Bush, there's Greitens, and there's Schmidt. And Greitens and Schmidt are just a nightmare. They're just a rinse and repeat mm-hmm. of the Trump era. And mm-hmm. we know we don't mm-hmm. want that. So
no.
I don't know. Trudy at least is for women's rights. There's that.
Right.
But she is a conservative.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I trust conservatives.
And
yeah,
one other thing, you guys, that happened, that made this happen, is when the Supreme Court ruled mm-hmm. that corporations are people, too, and can give all they want to politicians. And we mm-hmm. went down the drain from there because they're all
yeah.
bought and paid for.
Yeah, Citizens United pushed
right.
for that, and the Supreme Court granted them. It's very ridiculous, this country, for real. Speaking of the Supreme Court, do you think that, the people who lied in their confirmation hearings about not touching or overturning Roe versus Wade, do you think that merits a recall or impeachment for lying to Congress?
Impeachment.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like lying on your employment application. They can fire your butt
mm-hmm.
if you lie on that. Why wouldn't you and
mm-hmm.
do something this important?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At least reprimand mm-hmm. them publicly. Seems to me all they care
yeah.
about is money and reputation. Reputation
right.
and money, those are the two things that get you reelected in this country.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, check this out, Jackie and Susie and Laurie. You know what really upset me, though, is Clarence Thomas will use this the Supreme Court justice privilege, saying his wife can't testify
mm-hmm.
before a G6 committee because of privilege, some sort of privilege. His privilege protecting him as a Supreme Court justice, so she will be able to, testify in the G6 committee. You know, which is appalling because what anybody else.
Are you talking about his wife, Jenny?
Yes, yes. Yeah, he was saying in an article.
So do you think he's privileged to protect her from the spotlight being on her? Probably because he's afraid of what questions they're going to ask her. She knows a little too
mm-hmm.
much, and that's already been
mm-hmm.
brought out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I liked a meme I saw recently that said, Jenny, I got your number. I need to make you testify. That was awesome.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
8-6-7-5-3-0.
Well,
yeah, that song.
I think
she
mm-hmm.
she would be happy to talk to him. You know, she lied through her teeth.
Well, I
exactly.
I think they're talking about subpoena, and they're going to subpoena her. That's what I've read. So
yeah, she's
I
got
don't
no
think
privilege.
It's over.
How could she have privilege?
She doesn't have privilege. She
no.
has no connection.
She's
they
an American
are,
citizen with no
entity.
Better, no greater than you or I. Her
no.
husband might have a
no.
powerful
she,
position, but
no.
she is an American citizen and is duly
exactly.
obligated to answer to a subpoena.
Exactly.
And if
exactly.
she doesn't,
they're
if she doesn't
to
answer
her,
to it,
great.
Then send the marshals in.
Yeah, throw
just
her
like
ass
what it did to Bannon.
Send
yeah, just like what it did to Bannon.
To court.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for Bannon, for example, to go to jail for ignoring the subpoena.
Bannon was off.
All right,
we have
10 minutes. One more call coming in. 515-605-9802.
You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Good
Thank
night.
Thank you, Susie. Thank you for calling
Take
in.
Take care.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
That was Susie in Michigan, and we'll have one more call. The number to call, 9 minutes left, 515-605-9802. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's on your mind tonight?
Hi. I was calling to listen in because I like what you guys had to say. I heard about what he was trying to do about the bringing jobs back in healthcare and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel good.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm,
good,
mm-hmm.
Nice to hear.
Yes,
no, there's a lot of things that President Biden is trying to do, and for some reason the media doesn't pick up on everything. They just don't. The only thing we hear about every day is Donald Trump and what he's trying to destroy in our country. We need some positive feedback. That's my opinion, and that's why we decided to do this show.
Mm-hmm. So, caller, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
I've called here before. My name's Khalil, and I'm calling from Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh, yes.
Oh, West
okay.
Virginia. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes. So how is West Virginia these days? Anything exciting happening there?
I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia. Not West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
but it's okay here. It's not the best town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
So do you think that we can win the midterms? What is your thought?
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, what happened with the January 6th thing, that was really bad. And then plus, like, what Biden's trying to do, I could see us winning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's awesome.
And I think we can win because too many women are pissed off. Women from 18 to 100, you know, because women fought for the right to vote, the fought to have Roe versus Wade. I mean, dropping Roe and erasing Roe, not going to stop abortions, you know, but, safe abortions. There you go. Look how much women going to die because of this killing of Roe, you know, so pissed off angry women, millennials. Generation X and baby boomers, they come out in numbers and droves, and they have an unprecedented thing where Democrats win and win big. I mean, some races going to be close, but I see Democrats going to scrape through and win. You know, I just have this gut feeling that Democrats going to win for real. You know, enough of the Republicans. Mitch McConnell has been there since 1984. He went in there as one of the poorest people in Congress. No, he's the second richest person in Congress. How does that happen?
Yep.
Lauren Boebert in Colorado District 3, she's in there 2 years now, one term. And it is alleged that, you know, she'll have $7 million now and climbing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Special interest here to write laws or special interest write laws. These people who vote on it don't read the laws. And so they're just like, oh, you're running for re-election? Here's some money. Here's $20,000.
Yep.
Oh, you know, my super PAC giving you like X amount without for disclose how much. You know, so, I mean, take the money out of politics. Kill Citizens United. You know, that's what we need the Supreme Court to do.
Exactly.
You know, it's supposed to be for the people
and
by the people.
And
who?
Get rid of the filibuster.
Get rid of the filibuster. Exactly.
Yeah.
Democrats need to grow up your balls and kill the filibuster because, you know, this gentleman's agreement with Mitch McConnell not working. They haven't learned yet.
No.
You know, let's have bipartisanship. No, enough of that. Bipartisanship died in the 80s. And after Bill Clinton was in speech, it just does not work. Time to move on.
No.
You know?
Maybe
so,
it did, you know, back in the day, you know, back in the day, maybe it did work, but in the climate, the political climate that we are in right now, it does not work. It is just cutthroat, backstabbing, and filling your pockets with whatever you can get them filled with and then run to the bank. That's exactly how it's working.
Exactly.
So it's money and power versus the people.
The only way you can trust any of them to keep their word is if you have leverage over them. You have to have some kind of leverage on them.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down to money or reputation every time.
Yep.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Colin, Virginia. We really appreciate you calling.
Yes, thank you. Call back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to hear from you.
Yes, man.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have 3 minutes. So wrap up time now. So where do we go from here? Continue supporting Joe Biden, supporting and contributing to Democrats. We need to win big.
Uh-huh.
We need to win the Senate with a bigger majority. And we need to increase our majority in the House. We can do this. We will do this. I'm the people too pissed off to stay home and say, oh, this is just midterms and not really relevant to the presidential. No, people, get up off your asses, register to vote, grab somebody, find people, and those five people, grab five people and five people and so on. The domino effect.
Exactly.
Drive people to the polls, you know.
Exactly.
The night before the election, make a plan. Make a plan to vote. Go out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make these Republicans come in here and dictate how corporations run America. This is not fascism. This is a democracy. And as Naj said in Atlanta, Georgia, fascism is on the doorstep of America. We're better than this.
Yes.
They're the beacon of democracy. We should be up front, up there, where the world can look upon us and say, yes, that's the beacon of hope. Democracy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And
don't
I do
be scared about the poll watchers.
Pardon?
Don't be scared about the poll watchers. I know in Arizona, New Mexico, they're in trying that shit. And we're not going to be intimidated, especially in New Mexico,
no.
We're a blue state. And we'll kick some ass. You know, we're not going to take that crap.
Yep.
You're saying something.
Nope.
We have 2 minutes left.
I was just saying that my hope is that people are waking up. They're seeing every single day how they're trying to drag down the working stiff every day,
mm-hmm.
Take away rights, take away women's rights. I mean, they are trying to, you know, public schools are at risk, teachers are at risk, you know, our health care is at risk. It's time. It's time for these Republicans to just go away. That
mm-hmm.
is all they
mm-hmm.
have to do is just go away. And
mm-hmm.
we have to make
mm-hmm.
sure that we talk to everybody that we know that will listen. And yes, I
mm-hmm.
do believe that we can win the midterms. I have to believe that in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Jackie, any final thoughts?
Well, my final thoughts is after all the hanging chads in Florida, I was so sickened by everything that was going on. I couldn't fix what was going wrong with the country, but I thought, well, I could be an election judge and I could at least make sure the people in my precinct get their ballots counted and everything's handled properly in my backyard, let's say. My grandma used to say,
mm-hmm.
keep your own backyard clean. If everybody would do that, the world would be a better place. So I would suggest if you don't need the money, then donate it. But I didn't know you got paid to be a poll worker. It pays pretty good. It's like $100, $200 a day, depending on which
mm-hmm.
position you take.
But
it's a 14-hour day,
mm-hmm.
but it's worth
mm-hmm.
it, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
good.
But, yeah,
good.
It's a good way to make it a little extra Christmas money, or donate it, you know, if you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly.
Thank you so
well, thank
much.
And you'll learn a lot
calling.
About the process.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll
mm-hmm.
talk to you next
yes.
week, hopefully.
Hopefully, keep up the good work.
Thank
yes,
you
ma'am.
So much.
Mm-hmm. So that was Jackie from Missouri. We'd like to thank
Susie from Michigan.
Naj from, and who else? Oh, geez. Oh, I'm getting
Virginia,
Jackie from Missouri.
The gentleman from Virginia.
Susie from, Susie from Michigan.
And Kim from Michigan.
Kelly. From Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
No New Mexico call. What's going on here? Jesus, man. Calling New Mexico.
Know.
You know? Anyway, thank
I
you
know.
So much for joining us. We'll thank you for liking us on Facebook. Facebook.com/KitchenPolitics123. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. 8:30. Eastern. Until next time, this is David Franklin in New Mexico.
And this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone have a safe night and take care. And until next time, we'll see you again. Bye now.
Thank you.